Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and sports fans out there, welcome to a special Tuesday night edition, sports edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the man that should be playing for the New York Knicks right now because they are garbage. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the center of attention.
Number 33, Patrick. Sorry about that. No, that's Sean Black in the building once again.
Well, to be honest, at his age, at his status, I think Patrick Ewing will be a better Knicks player right now than what we have on the roster.
Tell me about it.
Well, the reason why we decided to do a sports show tonight, because Sean Black and I have been diehard Knicks fans for years.
Yes.
I like to say over 20 years or so. I'm talking about diehard.
Yeah.
And this is the 70th anniversary of the New York Knicks in New York. Go figure. But as any sports fan, you could take so much disappointing after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment in season, especially for a high market team that people spend their hard-earned money to see a garbage season, and to add insult to injury, not that you don't have a not just a disappointing season, but you have a disappointing season with drama. So you have a pile of doo doo on top of a pile of more doo doo. You know,
perfectly put.
It's like, how much doo doo can you go through?
Well, stick around, folks, because there seems to be a lot more of that crap coming along.
And this one, every season, you know, we as a sports fan, no matter who's your team, there's always next year. You know, we hear that statement.
Yeah.
It's one of, and that statement, I hate that to the fullest. There's always next year. As a New Yorker, I want my winning season now. I want the championship now.
Yeah.
But, all right, I know, I'm sure you have a lot to say about it, Sean. Of course, the number to call us to vet out about the New York Knicks or, you know what, anything about sports. The number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, 347-989-8402. Sean Black, as we are pissed off already. I'm sure the New York Knicks fans are pissed off already, so let's just vent out.
Well, first of all, I think I speak just for those that don't understand the New York market the way we do. You have to put it into this context. We have so many sports teams, the Jets, you've got the Giants, you've got the Rangers, the Islanders. They are all lots of teams, especially Yankees and the Mets, and you have all of these teams that are around, including the Brooklyn Nets who moved in from New Jersey. But the soul of the New York City tri-state area, especially the New York City area, has always been the New York Knicks. And I've had arguments with plenty of friends of mine that know this, that even though the Giants have won 4 Super Bowls in the last 25 years or so, and then you know you've had the Jets who haven't won a Super Bowl in a long time, but they have a ravenous fan base that's looking for a winner. Islanders have won 4 Stanley Cups. The Rangers have won 4 Stanley Cups. Most recently went to the Stanley Cup Finals within the last couple of years. But even with all that winning, it gets trumped if the New York – I can't believe I actually said that. But, yeah, that all becomes a moot point. Until if the New York Knicks get to an NBA Finals and win a championship. You remember back in 94 when the Knicks won the Eastern Conference and went to the Stanley Cup Final. I mean, the NBA Final. And
listen to you. You're so crazy right now.
Yes.
You don't know what you're saying.
I'm so amped up right now. But we know how ravenous the fan base is in New York if the Knicks are winners. And we saw that over the years. And I believe that the New York area had been spoiled for a very long time from the 90s throughout the first couple of years in the early 2000s. But what we've seen over the last few years has been ineptitude, incompetence, poor play, horrible ownership, a really crappy front office, and tons of wasted money. And it's really started from when Patrick Ewing was traded from New York to Seattle.
Sean Black.
Sorry
to cut you off, but someone is calling as pissed off already.
Oh.
540, who's this?
The old fish man. What is up, Hot Rod?
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, fish man. Sean Black. Remember fish?
Wow.
From 20 years ago?
My old stomping grounds partner. Hey, Phil, the fish man. Fishel, how you doing?
I'm good, Mr. Sean. How are you?
I am still alive.
Are you sure?
Although I don't know for how much longer, considering all of these sports teams driving me crazy. But, yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Yes.
Well, Fishman, a Rangers fan and a Knicks fan. Well, you're a diehard Rangers fan.
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, March the 9th, I'm going down to Raleigh to see the Rangers play against the Hurricanes.
Wow. Good luck with that one.
Sure. I'll tell you guys a funny one. We've been doing this. Me and my brother met here. He's originally from Hoboken. My brother met him as a Jet fan, but he's a Ranger fan. And we've been doing this since about 2013. And a couple of years ago when the Rangers were in Carolina, Cam Talbot was the goalie when Lundqvist was out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got my family involved. My nephew Devin, he's a Ranger fan. I trained him to like the teams that I like, and my other nephew likes and my brother likes. And well, of course, my brother, as we call him, the Village Idiot. He wears his Islander jersey. We get to Raleigh, and I swear to God, in Raleigh, it's like it's during March Madness, and NC State is like the top college team down there. And the Hurricanes were bad, and it was like going to a Rangers home game.
Wow.
And we get into the – this gets better. We get into the arena, and we go down to see the Rangers warm up. And we got separated for a bit, and I'm in a mass seat. We're in a mass sea of Ranger fans, and all of a sudden I hear my brother's voice, "Go Canes," and all these Ranger fans turn and boo the living crap out of my brother. Literally got his head booed.
Wow.
But, New York, we're everywhere. New York, New Yorkers are everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It,
Rangers, it, Knicks, Mets, Jets, we're everywhere.
Yes.
Giants. But down here in Roanoke, there are a lot of transplanting New Yorkers, and we've been going to Buffalo Wild Wings during football season, and there are so many Cowboy fans, Redskins fans, and Dallas fans, and most of them are nice, so I can't complain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when I saw what you guys were posting about Dolan and all that, I'm like, I got to get in on this.
Oh yeah, I have to compose myself when I talk about Dolan because this has been
okay. All right.
Yeah.
Before you guys go ranting about Dolan, who is James Dolan? Everybody know who he is, but for someone who doesn't know.
All right, James Dolan, as we know, was the owner of Cablevision, which is New York's biggest cable conglomerate. And I don't know what year he took over Madison Square Garden.
1999, I think.
I think it was 1999 is when he took over from Bob Gutkowski. And the Dave Checkitz conglomerate when they running the Garden and running the Knicks and the Rangers.
That is right. And now when all of this started, the Rangers had two years before 99 made it to the conference finals. And unfortunately, Mark Messier left for free agency.
Yeah.
And when Dolan came aboard, he started telling everybody what to do. And we got to get this free agent, and it started with the Rangers. They signed Theo Fleury, which I don't know why. Then Eric Lindros, a concussion case.
Yes.
The man was on the downside of his career. They traded on and off for Alexei Kovalev and Peter Nedved. And I think the only reason why Kovalev was so good in Pittsburgh that made him an all-star, because, Sean, you can vouch for me on this, look at the line he was playing on at the time with.
Exactly.
Lemieux and Yager.
Yes.
And
It started to get worse before it even got better. And there were some lean years with the Rangers and the Garden.
Oh, yeah.
And when the Knicks started that downfall, when all of the older aging stars started to wane,
yep.
and they started
mm-hmm.
trading away pieces. Like I said, Patrick Ewing was the first. Then they started to try to plug in high price free agents. You know, we had Allen Houstons of the world.
Oh,
we had the Chris Childs of the world.
Him.
And then all of those huge contracts. Larry Johnson still had the contract involved. And you had Anderson later on down the road.
Right.
And it seemed like as once the Knicks were getting from underneath themselves with contracts, they added more contracts. And what
mm-hmm.
it did was it just exacerbated when this team was going to get out from underneath its own weight. And eventually what ended up happening was that the team started to falter, because then the Knicks, after around the year 2000, between 2000, 2002, 2003, they would get to the playoffs once or twice. But for
mm-hmm.
the most part, it was lean years. Aging contracts had to come off.
But what you guys are trying to say is James Dolan was trying to be the George Steinbrenner for both the Rangers and the Knicks by throwing money out, trying to bring in people in.
And it did not
work. I'll do you one better. I think he's become the Jerry Jones of Madison Square Garden.
Ooh.
Which
you
means
know what?
Jerry
yes.
Jones.
Yes. Yes.
And the reason why I say that is because Jerry Jones does not let his GM run the team. He's telling them what to do. I'm like, he needs to butt out, let your GM do what you're paying him to do.
Yeah.
And with the Rangers situation, when they started unloading, they started rebuilding the team back in 2004 when they knew it was useless. Because if I remember right, Messier himself came back to the organization as an assistant to the GM, and I think he told Dolan, enough already.
Exactly.
Let Glenn Sather do his job. And the smartest thing Sather did before all of this was he did trade for Jaromir Jagr. And I have to say, with keeping Jagr on the team from that lockout year,
mm-hmm.
it helped. He started the movement. He had us believing again when he broke Adam Graves' single-season goal record back from the 2005-2006.
Yeah.
And that's when the Rangers started coming back up, and that's when they brought in Lundqvist. Sather was able to do what he could do. And you
yeah.
see the results right now. And the Rangers are looking like these guys might actually go deep into the playoffs from the way they're playing, but that
yeah,
remains
but
to be seen.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They're not going all the way. We still got this Pittsburgh to worry about.
Yeah, but the difference is there is hope. If you look at it 2 years ago when the Rangers went to the finals against the Kings, there was a whole lot of hope in the New York tri-state area rooted for the Rangers, but they fell apart down the stretch. It happens.
Well, you know, and the thing was, I was rooting that whole night for Chicago. We wanted me and some of the other – and Larry, the other guy who I'm friends with, we were rooting for Chicago. We did not want L.A. because we knew what that team was capable of, especially what they did to the Devils in the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years before.
Yeah, and that was a complete wipeout.
Well, I have another caller right now. Wow, why are you guys calling me right now? K-Dog. K-Dog's in the house.
Good evening, everyone. It is Professor K-Dog here to discuss the issues at hand. What's
Good
up, Phil?
What's up?
Hey, Phil, how you doing, man? It's been years, man.
Yes.
Years. Man,
yep.
I can't believe it, man.
Was that Professor Tate on the phone just before?
Yes, here to discuss the issues, man.
Oh,
all I
God.
Got.
Yeah.
Yes, we must discuss the issues. Well, seriously speaking, all I got to say is this is that James Dolan is public enemy number one. with all that's going on now. Go ahead.
And I was going to add, and this is where Dolan really screwed up with this team. He brought in Donnie Walsh to clean up the mess before the 2010 free agency happened.
Yeah.
And Donnie Walsh did all that.
A great job.
He did. And here's the thing. We should have sacrificed that 2011 season, not gone to the playoffs, and got Carmelo here via free agency because we knew he wanted to come here. And instead, we traded all that talent. Just for Melo. And that was bad.
So
Donnie
Phil, do you believe years ago when Carmelo had the chance to resign, should he have resigned or went to another team?
If I would have been Carmelo, the way this mess was going, if it would have been me, I would have gone to another team because knowing what I know and the way Dolan is running things, he's just ruining things. I mean, personally, I hope Carmelo can win a championship in New York, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Well, no. Said that will not happen.
Easier said than done, because at the rate of all of this mess that the Knicks have put themselves in with James Dolan at the helm, let me just say this. James Dolan is running a sinking ship. That's basically it.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. I think everybody realizes that the problem with the team is from the top all the way to the bottom. The players that are on the court, they can only do what they can because the coaching
exactly.
is not getting the job done. So we already know that. Hornacek knew what was going on.
Oh, sorry for interrupting, but I'm glad you mentioned the coaching because James Dolan screwed many ex-Knick players over. And you know, I'm not going to, you know, say that I'm a Knick fan because, you know, I'm not a Knick fan, but I see what's going on and it's wrong. I heard how he screwed over Patrick Ewing for a coaching job.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
He goes without saying.
Yeah, he told him to coach the D-League. I'm like, wow, that's a slap in the face to a man who gave all his talent, all his time, and all his sweat for this team, and you're going to slap him in the face when he wants to become the head coach?
Yeah. Now, I think when we look at the team right now as they are currently construed, if you're looking at it from top to bottom, from the ownership to the president of operations, Phil Jackson, who will get no concessions from me, we all know kind of a job he's doing. From his job all the way down to the players, it goes down the chain of command. And if the chain of command at the top is as clueless as what's going on at the bottom, they're cutting off their nose to spite their face. The Knicks went and spent a lot of money on contracts for players that shouldn't have gotten the amount of money that they did.
Like Phil said, he's trying to be the Jerry Jones of Madison Square Garden. Well, going out there spending
it's
money.
Not working.
But my question is, what do you do with Phil Jackson now? Do you get rid of him or do you get rid of Carmelo?
Phil Jackson has to go first, and this is the reason why. Based on what is going on, if you are the GM / president of basketball operations and you're trying to trade away the number one commodity on your team, you do not do it by going to social media and basically destroying his character in 140 characters. You don't go out there and you try to diminish his trade value by dumping all over him. One, Carmelo has a no-trade clause. He's not getting rid of that. Number two, he was here before Phil, really. If we're going to be in constant communication and you are the guy that's supposed to be running the place, if you're going to do that, your job is to make sure that he has pieces, speaking of the player, has pieces around him. They went out and got Derrick Rose, which if he's healthy and he's on mentally, he is one of the best point guards in the league. They overpaid for Joakim Noah, which we already know that.
God. Why did they get Joakim Noah?
$72 million for somebody that only is going to get like 3 points and barely play.
I've seen Joakim Noah sit down throughout the whole match. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. And then
what about Derrick Rose?
That's a waste of money.
What about Derrick Rose?
Derrick Rose's problem is, one, as
he's
has been stated
problem.
From the year he won the MVP in 2012 with the Bulls, he cannot stay healthy. He has bad
That's
knees.
That's the issue.
He's had issues with his ACL when he tore the ACL, and then his mental state when he came back so slowly, when he was cleared by the doctors to play, when the Bulls made a run at the playoffs 2 years prior, he made it so that, I don't want to be crippled, and I want to be able to see my children graduate. And he was coming up with excuses out of fear.
Yep.
He didn't want to be hurt.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, to sum everything up, basically looking at the Knicks right now, going from Dolan to the Carmelo situation with the Phil Jackson situation, and even more so the latest nonsense that's happened with this franchise, is looking at what happened with the Charles Oakley incident. You have ownership.
It was ugly.
You have ownership right now who doesn't know what they want to do. Do they want to connect with the Knicks of the past, considering, as you stated a little earlier, this is the 70th anniversary of the team? So they're doing lots of celebrations with the older players, players that have been part of the championship teams, teams from the 80s, teams from the 90s. And Charles Oakley was one of the great players of the 90s, playing the 10 years that he played with the Knicks.
Yep.
And knowing that Dolan has this issue with Charles Oakley, Oakley being a fan favorite, all it's doing is compounding the issues that this team has had from a PR standpoint. Forget about competitive nature, because the team stinks right now. What I'm talking about is from
a marketing mindset.
Sean,
the team do not stink at all. They are number one in offense and defense, okay? According to my NBA game.
That makes sense.
Leave it to Hot Rod.
Yes.
But back to Phil. James Dolan, you have a problem with James Dolan 100%. How can we get rid of Jim Dolan as running the team if he owns the team? Does he have a chairman kind of like block him doing all these moves?
That's the thing. He hasn't done anything illegal. Like, if you remember what happened with the whole Sterling situation, they said that, you know, with what he did, they were able to get him to sell the team. But in this situation, there's nothing illegal that Mr. Dolan has done where the NBA can say, you got to sell your team. Now, granted, I think the only reason why Dolan is doing this is because Adam Silver and Michael Jordan got involved.
And for those who don't realize it, Michael Jordan has been a very close friend to Charles Oakley for a number of years, going back to when Charles Oakley played for the Bulls. For his first 2 or 3 years in the league, he was pretty much Michael Jordan's bodyguard in the NBA. And
I remember that.
To look at what we're seeing now with the Knicks, from a standpoint, like you just said, Phil, there's nothing illegal that Dolan is doing. But what Dolan is showing, he is one of those owners that was, like Donald Sterling, making a ton of money. And you see a lot of these rich NBA owners or sports owners that don't do a lot for the team. The reason why they're doing what they're doing is because it's almost like a social thing. It's like, you know, I got a team.
Yeah.
Come over to my, you know, come to my building and go see my team. Even though they're not doing a whole lot, hey, come on down. Come to the front row. I got you great seats. Come on. And a lot of owners that have a lot of money that do these kinds of things actually do that and not think about the actual fans of the team, the city that the team is in, what the consequences are for the team not winning, and not really caring about surrounding themselves with winning basketball, if it's in basketball or whatever sport it is, looking at it from that standpoint of surrounding themselves with people that are competent, that know exactly what they're doing and running a franchise, and that's part of the problem.
And if you remember, the store Nobody Beats the Wiz? I'm sure we all remember that.
I got my first laptop computer from there. Yeah, I remember
that. Now, remember, Cablevision brought it. Who was the owner? And it's just so coincidentally when it started with the Rangers, he started – when Dolan started bringing in all those high-priced free agents with the Rangers and then with the Knicks, oh, by coincidence, nobody beats the Wiz is going out of business. Gee,
yeah.
I wonder why.
Things happen.
Jim Dolan
I like the point that Sean made about the team and the fans. If James Dolan is still making money, despite that the Knicks are garbage, why anything should change? The arena is still sold out. The Knicks are like, what, second or last place, maybe? Hey, look at the Brooklyn Nets. They're in last place. They're in Brooklyn.
They're 20 minutes away from us.
The Nets are garbage.
They're more than garbage. They're the worst.
They only have 9 wins.
Yeah.
But
they have 44 losses.
Yeah, true. But look how much they get compared to New York Knicks. They still sold out. Despite how much we all complaining about James Dolan and the Knicks, they still sold out no matter what. So who's really winning?
Yeah, but here's the thing. How much of the seats in Madison Square Garden are corporate seats?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. It's still selling.
And that's the problem. When you're looking at the corporate seats, you're looking at free seats that are given away through contests, radio station giveaways, et cetera, et cetera. The real value on those tickets, it's very hard to get tickets in the Garden. I've only been to see one Knick game in my lifetime live, and that was back in 1996, and I actually had Walt Frazier sign my ticket. It was the 50th anniversary of the Knicks team, which I have the ticket.
I'll do you one better. The only Knick game I went to was back in 93 when they faced the Spurs, when they had that record consecutive for the 32nd consecutive sellout, and they beat the holy hell out of the Spurs. And I believe Patrick Ewing had 33 points to David Robinson's 10.
Mm.
Wow.
I remember that
game. Wow.
Oh, well,
and it was
I've been to a game a few months ago, but that was a birthday gift to me by someone. And when me and my friends look at the price of the ticket, I'm not going to lie to you guys, the seats wasn't bad. It wasn't floor seats. But you talk about $2,000 in section 100.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, wow, there's no way I could afford these tickets. So I was very grateful. So that's like my first Knicks game in, what, maybe 8 years?
Mm.
If I was lucky. I've been to many Nets games, and I'm not going to lie to you, I probably pay for one ticket for a Nets game. The rest has been free because they're so garbage.
Mm.
But
we
got 15 minutes left. I want to focus more on the Charles Oakley and James Dolan situation.
All right.
As we know, now the ban has been uplifted on James.
Yep.
On Charles Oakley, so he could come back to the arena to the Knicks game. K-Dog. So Charles Oakley come back to the arena?
Unless he gets a public apology from Jim Dolan. That's the only way.
Well, that's a bad chance, of course.
Exactly.
And Phil, should...
Yep.
Why did Charles Oakley need to buy a ticket to a Knicks game? I never understood that part.
I can't understand it either, but if you're going to come in as a fan, I guess you have to. I mean, it was probably no different when Alexei Kovalev showed up at the at that Eastern Conference Finals game back in 2014, and they put him on the Tron.
You're a past player. You're supposed to get free tickets no matter what. Like Sean said, it's corporate, right? Corporate seats.
Yep, it is.
That
it is, and it's unfortunate.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So you tell me a man bought his own ticket, not knowing that he'll be sitting near to James Dolan, maybe a coincidence, I don't know. But I can speak for all of us. Both people handled the situation the wrong way. Number one, you don't put your hand on security. That's number one. They're just doing their job. But at the same time, I understand that on his point of view, why 10 guys, especially 10 white guys for the most part, got come up to a black man. So I throw the black man out.
And the optics on that whole thing looked terrible. If you saw the way...
Oh, my goodness. The whole thing was just a mess.
Oakley was dragged down to the ground. He was taken out. He was arrested. It's just the scene looks horrible because on the back end of it, it looks like the Knicks and the Garden are being petty toward Oakley. But at the same time, Oakley in the long run looks like, okay, he's crazy. Now, here's the part that really, really angered me is the fact that with all of that craziness that went on, we looked at how the wording from the Garden, well, maybe he has a drinking problem and maybe he needs help. What does that have to do with anything? One,
that was
going
to,
and
that
number
was
two, the only reason why that tweet was put the way it was to further damage the Oakley brand, to make the Knicks look sympathetic in the eyes of the fan, and to try to pull the blame off of themselves. And in that sense, the Knicks look like a petty, petulant, two-year-old run franchise. And that's basically what has happened with this franchise for the last 30 years.
Okay, relax, Sean.
Oh, I'm relaxing.
I'll be honest. I don't know how Spike Lee does it. Game in, game out, he still shows up. I'll give him the respect.
That's a true fan.
But
he's a true fan.
He is. I mean, when people question me these days, I'm like, listen, I grew up with those teams in the 90s when Jordan beat us. I mean, you lived and died with those teams.
Oh, I remember.
and as a true New York Knicks fan, you will back then, you will not put on a pair of Jordans. You
I still to this day won't. I've never worn a pair of Jordans, and I never will.
By the way, I think my brother got those stupid Starberry sneakers years ago, which I think they've probably been thrown out ever since.
So from Charles Oakley mess to Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson and their mess and their beef, what should Melo should do next now? Ask for this trade or stay on the team and still continue to piss off Phil Jackson?
Point. Here's the thing. Kevin Love is injured, and I think he's going to be on the shelf. I forgot what it's in about 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, he just had arthroscopic surgery on his knee earlier today. Either he's had it or he's going to have it within the next day or so. He's going to be out 6 weeks.
Yeah. So this trade is shot. I mean, Mel. I mean, what we saw on Sunday was what they should have been doing all along. I mean, they beat the Spurs, the team with the second-best record in the league.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen on a consistent basis, and that's the problem.
Of course not. And, see, the thing is, we all know that Carmelo Anthony is a God-gifted scorer, where although he takes a lot of high-volume amounts of shots, he can create his own shot off the dribble, in the low blocks, near the key. Anywhere he can spot up and shoot, all he needs is spacing, and he can drop 40 on you very easily. See, the thing is that, one, he has to be able to stay healthy enough to be able to do it. Two, he also needs help. He can't do it by himself. The problem is the way this Knicks team is and what has happened with Carmelo and his beef with Phil Jackson, what I personally think Carmelo should do, they say, look, there's a reason why I have a no-trade clause. I'm not going anywhere. The person
K-Dog,
that needs to go is Phil, period.
K-Dog?
Listen, there's a dark cloud overshadowing the Knicks team right now, and it is, of course, Jim Dolan and Phil Jackson with this whole beef with Carmelo. I mean, if Carmelo leaves right now, he will be missed.
Oh, without a doubt.
There's no doubt about that. He will be missed terribly. Because, you know, the whole thing was that Carmelo was going to come to the Knicks and help the Knicks get a championship after 42 years, which isn't happening. And I don't see it happening again this season. And that's the sad part about it. So Melo, if there is to be a trade, I'd say he'd go to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And here's this thing. If Phil Jackson is smart, he knows if you're going to trade your star player, you need to get value for him in return.
Gee.
True. But who else is out there that could help out Carmelo and the New York Knicks?
And well, there's only so much Kristaps Porzingis can do.
Exactly.
And Porzingis has already stated that his job is made easier by having Carmelo on the floor,
right,
because he's not taking the brunt of the double teams. And you think about
exactly.
it. Porzingis is only in his second year in the league. If you look at what he's doing now, he's getting the benefit of having, when healthy, a very good Carmelo Anthony. And if healthy, he's getting the benefit of having Derrick Rose on the floor. Now, notice, it's, as I stated,
right, if healthy.
If
he's
healthy.
Saying if healthy, and that's a gamble. If
that's
healthy.
The key.
And there's another instance that we didn't even talk about with the Knicks, was that whole deal with Derrick Rose not showing up.
Oh, yes, I have that. I have
that whole
God.
Thing where he something had happened in his family, but he didn't inform the team, and he didn't show up. And
yeah,
everybody was wondering what's going on.
He was AWOL for how many – for that one game. That was
yeah.
just crazy.
Yep.
The whole thing stinks. Like I said, it trickles down from the top all the way to the bottom. And when things like this don't happen, when you have lack of communication, you have all of these things that are allowed to happen with no fines, no suspensions, because Rose wasn't suspended, he didn't get fined, nothing like that happened, and you have the same instance happening over and over, it's the sign of a franchise that doesn't know what the
True.
Hell they're doing.
Yeah, and,
True,
and
Tom,
it's,
but
and if, what
sorry,
Derrick Rose
I'm
did,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Ronnie, but
no,
that makes me think of, that makes me think, if Derrick Rose can do that, something ain't right up there at the top of his head.
True. That's what I'm about to say. Derrick Rose at that time wasn't happy because, remember, he got benched by the coach.
Yep.
So, like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem at home. Screw it. I don't need to tell anybody. But you cannot tell me, no one, no matter what job you're in, what profession, you have an emergency, who do you tell? Someone in management.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
there's not no 10-year-old kid. This is Derrick Rose, okay?
Exactly.
So he's going through his 10 more. He was being upset. So he's like, you know what? Cool. You want to bench me? You don't want to give me time on the floor? You know what? I'll just go home. Maybe he did have an emergency. You know, I hope everything worked out. But maybe, like, you know what? Cool. Let me just go home for a day. Let me try to tell the
Can't
manager.
Do that.
All he but, had yep. to do was call someone in the organization. There's absolutely, positively no excuse for what he did. He
I'm not saying.
You can pick up the phone. He could have texted somebody. He said, look, I have a family emergency. I'm not able to get on the plane to get to the game. And they would have figured it out. He didn't
exactly.
contact anyone until the day of the game that he wasn't going to show up. And that
you're calling
the...
in
that,
calling
that
in is better than a no-show.
That showed that you're not, you know, you're not a team player if you're going to do something.
Exactly.
Like
yeah. No,
okay.
All was forgiven. Hands clean. Everything works the way it was. But as I said before,
and
it starts from the top.
And lose again.
And trickles down to the bottom.
Since Phil is our special guest co-host tonight, we have a few minutes left. What is your final thought about James Dolan, the Knicks, the Rangers, anything that's on your mind?
Oh, God, where to start? I mean, the Rangers, this is gonna. There's hope here. I mean, this team is just buzzing right now. They've won 6 in a row, and now they're going into a building this Thursday that they haven't even been able to win a game in. So I'm nervous about that. And, of course, you know what I live with. I live with a freaking Islander fan. But, you know, there's hope. Baseball season, the Mets are going to hopefully do something again with their aces.
Yeah.
I mean – I'm hoping. I mean, Noah Syndergaard showed he is proven to be the ace of this staff.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that point up, Phil, because think about it. I'm not attacking Mets fans, Jets fans, Islanders. You guys have been based on hope for all these years, and season after season been disappointment. How do you and Sean go through this? You know, I'm a Yankee fan, Giants fan, all of that. Like, especially as a Mets fan.
You know, speaking as a Mets fan, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And that's what it's – same thing with the Giants, with what they had been going through till this season.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
You live by the – I mean, the Giants last – not this past season, but the season before that in 2015, they had all the offense, but the defense was horrible. They couldn't contain that pass rush for anything.
Yeah.
But it – I mean, I love the Giants, I love the Knicks, I love the Rangers, and I love my Mets. And you know what? You live by the sword – you die by the sword, and that's it. You stay true to your team no matter what. I remember when the Nets moved to Brooklyn. Oh, you live in Brooklyn, you should become a Net. I'm like, no, I ain't going to become no Net fan because they're moving to Brooklyn. I grew up watching the Knicks in the 90s. That's when they made us believers, and you lived and died with those teams. I mean, people were just crazy about it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah. Sean and I and Cato, we get heat too, not becoming a Brooklyn Nets fan because the Brooklyn Nets belong to New Jersey. Not to
well, anyone who's a Brooklyn Nets fan, I feel terribly sorry for you. You are rooting for the worst team in the league, a team that wasted money, and a team that is literally garbage. I mean, it's not even worth watching the Brooklyn Nets play a game.
Sean?
Yeah, well, basically.
You know, I will tell you guys, thank God, you know, since I moved from New York, you know, we have satellite TV, you know, DirecTV has that sports pack and stuff where you can get channels from all the other states. Thank God for that because I have the MSG channels and I have Sportsnet in New York. So thank God for that. I could watch Sports Night and within a half an hour see everything that's happened. I don't have to watch SportsCenter and ESPN and wait a whole hour for a single highlight.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. SportsCenter is not what it used to be anymore.
Well, SportsCenter has changed now. It's more personality-driven as opposed to sports-driven. So you have a lot of personalities running it.
And why do you think the WWE gets so much attention on ESPN now? One man, Jonathan Coachman.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, this has been a great
discussion. And yes, I will go on record. I do have the WWE Network. I'm still watching it after all these years.
Yeah.
Take a look at all four of us still got WWE Network.
We all still
watch wrestling.
Yes. Full disclosure for those that have listened. All four of us have known each other for the better part of 20 years. Phil and I go back along with the Phenom a long time ago, and we did a sports show.
Yep.
And that sports show was on the air for 7 years, and I die-heartedly missed that show, without question.
And you know, I think one of the best shows we did. It was, I don't think you were there that day, but we all chipped in for it. Chris Morton had his chip in, and this is when the Jets had that was so bad, like in 1996, 95, 96. We all brought Plashon that Hess truck. He was like a little kid. Every time we came back from a commercial, he had that thing on. It was one of the most hilarious memories I think I can think of that show.
Wow.
But, okay. I mean, we...
Yeah, so sorry to cut by you off, but it's time to go. It is late. I got to go work in a few hours, you know. But
oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
K-Dog, Phil, thank you so much for calling in tonight and making the show great.
Yes.
You got to do this again soon.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when, all right?
Yes.
This is a real cool reunion. And also, I just wanted to note, Phil, that also we also got to remember one of our members who – unfortunately, whom we lost from the sports show. Let's give a shout out to Ian Chaotic.
You're right.
Ian Chaotic, yes.
Ian.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
All right,
unfortunately.
Guys, gotta go. Have a good night, guys. Take care.
Yes, good night.
All right, guys, take care, Sean. It was good talking to you guys.
Same here.
Hey, it was good talking to you, Phil. Later, guys.
All right, Kerwin, you take it easy.
Hey, you too.
All right, folks. Thank you for tuning in to a crazy night of sports. Sports absolute truth.
Yeah.
I'm so confused right now. I'm your host with the most, the king of king himself. I am the Hot Rod with the one, the only,
Sean Black.
So if we have to do double shows, are we going to get double paid now for doing these shows?
Well, I wonder. Well, what will we do with all of those 13 cents that we make?
Wow. Yes, I think I could pay off my child support now. Finally.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Well, Monday night, guys, 10:30, tune into the Absolute Truth again, where we'll be talking about, most likely, Donald Trump, immigration, and Mr. Flynn.
Oh, of course. There's so much to talk about. You'll find out on Monday.
And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
I'll text you later, Sean.
Oh, of course.
Good night.
Good night.